You're listening to Consider This, episode 70, for March 21st, 2014.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, comrades, it's me, Doug Payton, and I'm being invited to occupy your brain, but only for 10 minutes or less. I call this army Consider This, and my soldiers all have rather short attention spans. If you like what you're hearing, or especially if you don't, call me at 267-CALL-CT0 and voice your appreciation or frustration. The website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, has more ways to get in touch. That's CT as in conquering tanks. Ukraine experiences its own version of From Russia with Love. That's coming up. I was interviewed recently for two episodes of a new podcast called Inside the Studio of the Podcaster. Scott Herzog is hosting this look into what different podcasters consider their can't-live-without gear. If you do podcasting or just audio recording and editing in general, this will be a great resource.
Come on in. Let's take a peek. Pull back the curtain a little bit. And let's see what really makes podcasts tick. At Inside the Studio of the Podcaster, I examine the equipment, the software, the apps, and the plugins that make podcasts happen. I interview podcasters who tell me what their studio can't live without. We look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, and give you our recommendations. Inside the Studio of the Podcaster can be found at podcastingguru.com.
Russia taking over Crimea. Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia worried about the same thing happening to them. Russian forces massing on the border of Ukraine. No, this is not the opening scene of some pre-World War II movie. It's history from the past couple of weeks. But during the Cold War, Russia had control of all of these under the umbrella of the Soviet Union. In the 1980s, President Ronald Reagan set out to defeat, not just contain as his predecessors had done, but defeat the Soviet Union. He succeeded. His detractors said, and continue to say, that he got lucky, that the Soviet Union was going to collapse under its own weight anyway. And it just coincidentally happened on his watch. But Reagan was the first president to actively try to bring it down. That it happened right after this attempt is a cause and effect that is extremely rare in geopolitical affairs. And those he liberated from places already mentioned, as well as Poland and other former Eastern Bloc nations, certainly give him that credit. And he did it without causing a nuclear World War III, which those detractors predicted. A huge foreign policy success in the 1980s liberated millions and kept them free. Understanding the world as it was, not being afraid of the Soviets but projecting strength to keep them at bay, set the stage for the downfall. And understanding today's world as it is absolutely required in order to deal with the foreign policy challenges of today. But our current president doesn't recognize what's going on right in front of him. Here's an excerpt from one of the debates he had with challenger Mitt Romney.
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat. Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda. You said Russia. In the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years. But, Governor, you know, when it comes to our foreign policy, you seem to want to import the foreign policies of the 1980s.
Yes, there are many other dangers in the world today. And one of the things a president needs to do is recognize threats before they've manipulated a government to give them cover to take over. Instead, we present a reset button to them, suggesting that this administration is going to practice smart diplomacy in the future. I guess Putin got the message and is now in control of Crimea. He apparently is using a different button, the one from the Staples office supply chain that says easy on it. And what are we doing? Well, it's kind of late right now to project strength. Mitt Romney penned a piece in the Wall Street Journal noting that, indeed, we have nothing but bad options now in Ukraine as well as Syria and Egypt. But the time to act when there were good options came and went and was missed.
President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton traveled the world in pursuit of their promise to reset relations and to build friendships across the globe. Their failure has been painfully evident. It is hard to name even a single country that has more respect and admiration for America today than when President Obama took office. And now Russia is in Ukraine. Part of their failure, I submit, is due to their failure to act when the action was possible and needed.
Some will compare this to when Russia was fighting the country of Georgia during the George W. Bush administration. But that was an actual war that the rebels in Georgia were ready to have. In Crimea, a parliament and a referendum were manipulated for the purposes of a cover story that Russia was invited in. They don't even need a pretense for war anymore. They can just walk through the front door and install new locks. And our president was mocking Romney for considering Russia a threat. The war in Georgia tipped Putin's hand, but the move into Crimea is out-and-out defiance. Russia's deputy prime minister laughed off President Obama's sanctions against him and other Russian government officials in a tweet wondering if some pranksters came up with a list of names. Did Mikhail Gorbachev call Reagan a prankster after Reagan walked out of the Reykjavik nuclear treaty talks? And did World War III start because of it? No and no. Projecting strength is as much about the might you have, both diplomatically and militarily, as it is how you use it or how much the other guy thinks you might use it. Reagan played hardball, and in a short amount of time, with nary a nuke dropped, there was no more Soviet Union. President Obama, the 1980s called, they're willing to lend you their foreign policy if you have the guts to implement it. So, comrade, tell me what you think. Are these valid critiques, or is this situation completely different? I understand that no two situations are ever the same, but there are general principles that are nearly universal. Did you know that George Washington said that the best way to ensure peace is to be ready for war? And it's not just having the manpower and the firepower available. If everyone knows you would never use it, the effect is just like not having it. Obama drew red lines in Syria that they shouldn't cross, but when they did, not much really happened. Putin, I think, saw that and understood its meaning. Call me at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280, or write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com. Show notes, a transcript, links to everything I referred to, including the debate video, and a place to comment is at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. I've got pages on Facebook and Google+, and a Twitter account, all of which I use, and all of which are linked to on the website. You can find them easily by looking for the boring and generally monochromatic logos. Well, you've heard mine, now get your voice heard. If we have a conversation, then we can really consider this.